Good morning to all who are in Tapeland. And while I say good morning, some of you may be listening to the tape in the afternoon or the evening. It is Sunday morning, August 15th, and we have detected a bit of fall in the air, although we know we're going to get some more heat this summer. Now, it is on my heart to bring a message today that will honor the Lord God in His majesty and supremacy and dominion. And it is my conviction that this message needs to be expressed during these days, because by and large the church has lost that sense of God's sovereign dominion and power, and replaced it with the worship of human free will, so-called. So let's worship together in a text of Scripture, Daniel chapter 4, beginning at verse 34. Now let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we bow here now before You and ask that as we proclaim and as we listen, that we may be enabled by the Holy Spirit to give You appropriate praise and honor and glory. Lord, we bow before Your superiority. We bow before Your authority, and we have a heart that longs for You to be honored and exalted. Use this text and this message as a means of giving glory and honor to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, beginning at verse 34, I want to bring a message through the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar to the honor and glory of God. Let's begin at verse 34 of Daniel chapter 4. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" And at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and His ways justice, and those who walk in pride He is able to abase. Now let's consider the context of this written by Daniel, referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, the mightiest empire on the earth at that time. And it's interesting to note that as Nebuchadnezzar, in a sense, ruled the world as the king of Babylon, Babylon is now where Baghdad is, at the where the Tigris and the Euphrates River meet. That also was the place of the Garden of Eden. And this was the place of Babylon, now Baghdad. And Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was the greatest. It's interesting to note that I have read where Saddam Hussein was a student of Nebuchadnezzar and sought to be like him. It's also interesting to me that in that spot on the earth, which where the Garden of Eden was and where this great kingdom was, noted the beginning of things, and that area may well be the end of things. Now, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar was this. He had this great kingdom, this great palace. He had conquered Israel, taken captives, among whom was Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his palace one day and was saying, "Look at my kingdom. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" What is this? This is human pride. Pride is the basic sin. Pride lifted up Lucifer's heart in an attempt to be like God. Nebuchadnezzar considered himself to be great and powerful and to be like God. And that is your sin and my sin. Selfish pride. Now, God is not going to accept that or let anyone exalt himself above the Lord God. And so, while Nebuchadnezzar was speaking, he was driven out to the fields, and he began to eat grass like oxen, and he lived like an animal for a certain time. And then he says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was restored. And so we're going to see the power and the sovereignty of God over all human pride and his dominion over all the earth. Now, the approach to the text and the message today will not necessarily be a sermonic outline, but rather a running commentary of the text beginning at verse 34. And in verse 34, we notice, first of all, that Nebuchadnezzar was restored to sanity. He said, "My understanding returned to me." And in verse 35, he said, "My reason returned to me, and I was restored." This is grace, and this is power, and this is ability. Nebuchadnezzar would have remained as an animal if God's grace had not intervened and invaded his life, converted him, and restored him. Nebuchadnezzar is a trophy of God's grace. Now, secondly, we notice that Nebuchadnezzar was given the knowledge of God as the Most High. What a grace God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, so that now, as he has returned to his senses, he acknowledges that God is the Most High. For a while, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the Most High. So this phrase is most significant. There's been a change. Nebuchadnezzar is not placing himself as the Most High, but he's saying, I bless the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. What is he saying? He's saying that God is the Most High, and as such, he is eternal. He lives forever. God is eternal. And there was that eternal condition where there was only God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Self-existent, self-sufficient, needed nothing, under no obligation. The creation adds nothing to him. Human beings add nothing to him. He is sufficient in himself, and he is eternal. Secondly, Nebuchadnezzar recognized God as the Most High by saying, God has an everlasting dominion. Now, Nebuchadnezzar thought perhaps he had an everlasting dominion, but it was quickly taken from him. He says of God that his kingdom is everlasting. And that's true. Kings, as we heard the song, kings and kingdoms may come and go, but the kingdom of God is everlasting. Thirdly, Nebuchadnezzar notes that God's kingdom continues from generation to generation. And that's true, and that's what's been happening. Generations come and go. Kings and kingdoms come and go. But God's kingdom continues from generation to generation. Fourthly, Nebuchadnezzar gives God praise because God is above all the inhabitants of the earth. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God is above all. In our humanness, we tend to exalt human beings, and we give them high honor and put them on a pedestal, and to some degree, that is appropriate. But we must remember who we are. We are creatures. God is our creator, and God is above all the inhabitants of the earth. Then Nebuchadnezzar says that God acts out of his own will in heaven and on earth. All inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God's will is the supreme power in the universe. Now we must remember that. Because of the exaltation of the human will, the idolatry placed upon human free will, we must note this. God acts out of his own will. He is not dependent upon the cooperation of human beings. He does exactly what he wills to do. Whatever God desires, he does. Whatever God wants, he does. Whatever God wills, he does. And he acts over and above the human will. He allows the human will to disobey. He allows the human will to rebel to a point, but not beyond God's own will and decree. And today, we need to restore to the churches an adequate concept of God that puts him in his rightful place as King of kings and Lord of lords, whose dominion is forever and who rules in heaven and on earth. What a comfort that is to me to know and realize and understand that God's dominion is ruling in Iraq, in Sudan, in Washington, D.C., in all high places on the earth. God is in charge. If I didn't believe that, I would be so upset after reading the morning newspaper that I would have to have a jillion cups of coffee to make it. No, how comforting. How wonderful. How glorious is our God. He is adorable. Now then, Nebuchadnezzar states this, that God cannot be hindered or rightfully questioned. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" This is true. No one can deter God from carrying out his purpose. Now, it may seem at times to us that God is being hindered. And in most churches, we'll hear this phrase, "God can't do this or that until you let him." God wants to heal you, or God wants to make you wealthy, but he can't because you won't let him. God can't operate because you lack faith. Now, that just is not true. And if we believe that, we have brought God right out of the heavens and made him as a man. Nor have we the right to question him or say to him, "What have you done?" or "What are you doing?" In Romans 9, we see the same reply to God's election. Some people rebel against God's right and power to have an election of people to himself. And Paul's reply there in Romans is, "Who are you, O man, to reply against God?" We have no right to question him. Nebuchadnezzar did not question him. And he gives us these observances about the Lord. Now then, beginning in verse 35, we have Nebuchadnezzar's testimony of God's conversion. Verse 35. "At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. God graciously restored Nebuchadnezzar. God graciously converted Nebuchadnezzar, took him from the bottom to the top. And Nebuchadnezzar is acknowledging these things. And he has now become king again and has his kingdom. And he has been converted. Now, Nebuchadnezzar does some preaching in verse 37. Here is the result of all this. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. This is Nebuchadnezzar's proclamation. This is Nebuchadnezzar preaching to us and giving his testimony. After being converted, after being taken from the bottom to the top, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of Heaven. The Lord God is above and beyond Nebuchadnezzar. He has an earthly kingdom for a time, but he gives praise and honor to the King of Heaven. And he says that the works of the King of Heaven are truth. And we find that spoken of in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, the way, and the truth. God's word is truth. Oh, how we need the truth today, the truth about God and who he is, so that we may know him. We cannot worship or serve a God we do not know. And we need to know him as he truly is, as he was revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar. Not only are his works truth, his ways are justice. God is just, that is fair and right. And God has done the one thing that reveals justice in a supreme way. You and I may seldom experience justice in this life. But there is one event that has occurred in history that is the supremacy of justice. The one thing that must happen has already occurred. God has highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He ascended back into glory, and he sits at the right hand of the Father in a place of authority. He is no longer humiliated or suffering. He is now in his rightful place. He is exalted. That is justice. God's ways are justice. And then Nebuchadnezzar says that those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. This reveals God's supreme ability. You know, a big part of the Bible is about ability. God's ability, man's ability, Satan's ability. And God has given man certain abilities. And he's given Satan certain reign. But God's ability stands so far above all that any of us can ever see or do. Far above those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. God was able to take this proud man, Nebuchadnezzar, and reduce him to the life of an animal. God is going to take the pride of Lucifer, who became Satan, and will one day reduce him to everlasting captivity, and who will be cast into hell. God has the ability to do that in the exercise of his power. Now, what a glorious passage of scripture we have. Daniel chapter 4, 34 through 37, revealing so much of God's supremacy, sufficiency, power, wisdom, and ability. How then do we conclude the message? What is the application? Well, it's clear to me that the application to our hearts is that we must join Nebuchadnezzar in praise and honor and glory to the King of Heaven. If the Lord graces you to believe the truth about him, that he is sovereign, that he is the King of Heaven, and that his dominion is everlasting, and that he is supreme, and he is Lord, then join. Join Nebuchadnezzar to say, now I, whoever we are, praise and exalt and honor the kingdom of heaven. And give him his rightful place above all, over all, sovereign over us individually and over all the earth. May God grant that the church would once again be restored to worship God as he really is. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And this morning we believe this passage as it reveals who you really are. Now, bring to our hearts submission and put us in subjection to your authority. And help us not to exalt ourselves or nor attempt to honor our free will above your will. Take control of our hearts and lives and bring from us true and reverent worship. Lord God, we praise and exalt and honor you now. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.